My God, how wonderful thou art, thy majesty how bright, how beautiful thy mercy seat in depth of burning light. Oh, how I fear thee, living God, with deepest, tenderest fears, and worship thee with trembling hope and penitential tears. No earthly father loves like thee, no mother half so mild bears and forbears as thou hast done with me, thy sinful child. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, lead us by thy Spirit. Accept our gratitude for life and the freedom we experience as thy children. May the cares of this day and every day increase our devotion and dedication to thee. Find in each of us willing students, subject to the discipline of thy living word. Amen. Our Father in heaven, thou who dost attend our ways with thy Spirit, thou who hast continued in patience to have dealings with us through all generations, we acknowledge thee as our Lord and as our King. Accept the gratitude of our hearts for every blessing that thou dost give to us in the form of life, in the form of friends, family, those with whom we share our daily labors. So enlighten our ways that we might have this certainty of thy constant companionship. Help us to understand the difficulties that we face, experiences of heartache and sorrow, difficulty in our labors, all these that would tend to give us an insecurity that would threaten our faith in thee. May we become even more dependent upon that faith, and may we work even more diligently to experience afresh thy presence. Cause us to grow. May we grow in knowledge, in wisdom, in understanding of ourselves, of our task, and of others with whom we work and serve. And then most of all, may we grow in understanding of thee and of the world that thou hast given to us. Lead us in this experience of worship. Make thy Spirit real to us. For we pray in the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. From Isaiah, the 26th chapter. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps faith may enter in. Thou dost keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. For he hath brought low the inhabitants of the height, the lofty city. He lays it low and lays it low to the ground, casts it to the dust. The foot tramples it, the feet of the poor, the steps of the needy. We recognize that we are children of the age in which we live. Economic concerns, social pressures, family expectations are not unknown even on a seminary campus. Many of our opinions and some of our convictions are altered along the way, and yet the time and place And sometimes even the reasons for the change are not known to us. As we are separated from these shaping experiences of life by time and by distance, we look back in amazement at our past immaturities and wonder how this day will appear to us 10 years hence. While it would be difficult to overemphasize the significance of these subtle pressures that shape us, there are others that strike with such force that our foundations tremble. We move quickly to check the cracks in our armor, and we fill them with wax to protect the image that pride has built through the years. So it is when we come face to face with an experience related to the grim reaper, death. About 2 weeks ago, Agadir, Morocco, experienced almost total destruction with more than 10,000 people killed and injured, and some estimates have gone even higher. Nations of the world rushed to aid, and many uttered deep-felt expressions of sympathy and concern for these many people. Even 12 days after this disastrous earthquake, some were still being rescued alive. This is not the worst earthquake of history. Others in the past have caused even more loss of life and more property damage than this. In Sicily in 1693, there were 60,000 people killed in an earthquake. In Lisbon in 1755, 60,000 were killed and the city was totally destroyed. In Caracas in 1812, 12,000 were killed and the city was leveled. In Japan in 1896, 26,000 people were killed. In Gansu, China in 1920, 100,000 people were killed. In Tokyo, 1923, 150,000 people were killed, and there was $4.5 billion of property damage. Many other similar horrifying experiences have occurred with less loss of life and property. Sudden awareness of death, even in such giant proportions, does not prepare us for this inevitable experience or for sharing with those whom we know and love as they face death or experience it in their families. Daily headlines speak of those who have had their lives ended in innumerable ways. These cold facts with our morning coffee can tend to make death commonplace. The airplane, the automobile, the boat, the emotionally unbalanced gun collector, the mine disasters, all continue to take their toll and add to the impersonal effect that death would have upon us. Many of you still recall vividly the first time a family looked to you for comfort and guidance as pastor, when they had experienced death in their midst. Others of you look to this experience for the first time with mixed feelings. We would like often, because of the pain involved, to have done with it all and to have no such experiences to face in the future. Gradually, we may be inclined to feel less the pain and sorrow of the family and find the task just not distasteful, but rather bothersome as well. So death may again become impersonal, even in the midst of our concern for our people. There comes a time more quickly for some of us than others when death becomes a reality. Grandfather, grandmother, nephew, brother-in-law, uncle are overtaken by death. For someone else, it will be a son, a wife, or a husband. It will come quickly, it will come slowly. But nevertheless, it comes. Where do we begin to let ourselves become involved in such serious matters as these? Dr. Paul Johnson writes, "Seeing other persons as rivals, we guard what we say lest we betray our inner feelings or reveal attitudes that others may ridicule or hold against us. To play safe with other persons who might disapprove or be offended, we talk of the weather and of such inconsequential topics as will not reveal our true feelings. Trying to conform to the empty conventionalities, we hide our deeper selves behind a defensive mask to keep up the appearance. Small wonder that we are lonely when we hold each other at a safe distance by such maneuvers without permitting the real person in me to meet the real person in you. Distrust holds us back and keeps us apart when we hunger to know and to be known. Yet we hide behind our defenses and guard every entrance as if to ward off the enemies we fear others will be. Separated by such lonely defenses, we confine ourselves to prisons of living death. For separation is exactly what death means to a living person. One by one, our best friends depart until eventually all relationships are severed by death. Each separation is a tragic loss, foretelling the final and complete loss of all values. One needs a courage arising from enduring relationships which uphold us in spite of the shocks and losses of human existence. The desire for a basic relationship remains a primary need of human life, and this need is a dynamic condition of religious growth. As the psalmist says, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." To some extent, every finite person is deprived of the wholeness for which he longs. The relationships of family and associates are good so far as they satisfy basic needs, but they do not prove constant enough to satiate or extinguish these human needs. For every relationship is variable and unpredictable to a degree where good is mingled with evil, and the satisfaction blends with dissatisfaction. Many experiences will come to your own mind, experiences which you have shared with others and some which you have known others to have in their lives. We will ask ourselves time and time again, as we are called upon to meet such a definite and specific experience as death, to be more than we ordinarily are, and to express more than we ordinarily can, and to be able to share more with the person who has such an experience than we ordinarily would share with this person. And so we are forced to consider sooner or later how we will react and what we will do in order that our lives will be meaningful to this other person, and to examine within us those blocks that would prevent our sharing and being something and being someone to the person in need. No attempt is made to answer the questions raised when we face death in the experience of others or in moments when death becomes a reality to us. We share best, however, with those who sorrow, as we too struggle with the ultimates of life and what life has to bring to us. And that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will he appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is an everlasting rock. Or as another translation reads, for in the Lord Jehovah is a rock of ages. May we sing together, Rock of Ages, hymn number 103. Our Father, lead us, we pray, to the everlasting rock that gives both strength, security, and purpose in order that we might be more free to share with others and to lead others to thee. For we pray in the name of our Master. Amen.